The following program is a paid program, and the views expressed are not necessarily those of 920 WGKA or Salem Communications.
Welcome to Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every Sunday night, right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And now your host, Mark Walters.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association, the ultimate resource for the armed citizen. I'm your host, Mark Walters, a.k.a. the Ordinary Guy columnist for Concealed Carry Magazine, the official publication of the USCCA. We're broadcasting live on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA from the beautiful Buckhead section of Atlanta, Georgia. Our board operator tonight is Gene. If you'd like to participate on our show this evening, you can reach out to us toll-free nationwide at 888-920-2665. That's 888-920-2665 or 770-226-0920. 770-226-0920. Don't be a stranger, folks. Be a patriot and join us on the air. Anti-gunners and unarmed victims are welcome to join us as well. You have your own hotline set up here in the studio. Simply pick an area code of your choice and add 555-1212. You're sure to get a hold of somebody out there who will listen to your hysterical arguments. Folks, we are so excited to kick off this weekly program. It's actually a weekly event, if you will. You have absolutely no idea what a privilege it is going to be to sit here every Sunday evening with you, discussing virtually everything related to your constitutionally recognized God-given right to self-defense. Folks, let me repeat that. Your constitutionally recognized God-given right to defend yourself and your family. And let's get one thing straight here for the anti-freedom folks out there who may be lurking around, and they're out there. We'll find a few of them. Rumor has it here there's some in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm sure that comes as a shock to some of our listeners tonight and my in-studio guest, Ed Stone. If you're out there listening tonight, and we hope you are, because you may learn a thing or two. But let's get this straight here as we open up this inaugural show, and I want everyone to understand this clearly. We here on this program and myself will never, ever, and I mean never, ever apologize for defending our God-given rights, a right so eloquently recognized and protected in our Constitution. The Second Amendment, folks, is absolutely not up for debate on this program. Again, the Second Amendment is not up for debate on this program. If you don't like it, go somewhere quiet and write your own constitution and start your own little country of defenseless victims somewhere else. But here in America, we have the right to keep and bear arms, and we will never apologize ever for that. Folks, let's give you, Gene, appreciate that. What button did I push to make that happen? All right, let's give you guys a little outline of how we plan on progressing each and every Sunday here on Armed American Radio. First of all, we're going to use what we refer to as a four-segment floating clock here with a variety of topics du jour. Okay, topics du jour, that means topics of the day. And we'll include guests from time to time within each segment. You, the listeners, are encouraged to call the program whenever the itch strikes, and I'll make every attempt possible to put you live on the air. Keep in mind that I'll be attempting to cram 3 to 4 hours of material into a one-hour program, but your voices are important, and we want your opinions on the air, so every effort will be made to accommodate you. Be patient. If you get put on hold, we'll get to you as fast as we can. The program will be covering almost any topic related to your right to keep and bear arms, such as safe gun handling, training, properly teaching your children about gun safety, that one is right up at the top. Safe storage goes hand in hand with children and guns. Laws, new legislation, both national and local, state by state, relating to your freedoms. New products, the politics of your right to keep and bear arms, and various other related topics that may pop up from time to time. Armed responses will include from time to time. Women's issues, clothing, the CCW lifestyle, and so forth. And I think we're ready to get started with this evening's show. So let me give you a quick rundown of who we have on the inaugural edition tonight. Our guests include Mr. Timothy Schmidt, the founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association and Delta Media, publishers of Concealed Carry Magazine, and a host of personal defense-related products and books. Tim will be with us in just a few minutes to help us get cranking here tonight. In the studio with me tonight and joining me for what I can assure you will not be his only appearance is Mr. Ed Stone. Ed Stone is the president of GeorgiaCarry.org, one of the nation's most effective grassroots organizations. Ed has a lot to tell us about the importance of the grassroots movements across the country. If you're in the process of beginning one of these organizations, or if you're simply a member of an existing organization in the state you reside, you're going to want to stick around and hear what he has to say for sure. During the second half of the hour, it will be my privilege to be joined by the legend himself, the author of what many people refer to as the Bible of Concealed Carry, In the Gravest Extreme, written in 1980, and most recently, the Gun Digest book of Concealed Carry. Mr. Masad Ayoub will be joining me tonight from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I suggest we get rocking and rolling and get started. Sitting over here to my right is Mr. Ed Stone. Ed Stone is the president of Georgia Carry. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, Mark. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Ed. You and I go back a ways. I think it was 2006. Early 2006. I think Georgia Carry had just gotten started, just got its feet on the ground. And I'll never forget calling you that day. And I was initially going to be a test case, if you remember correctly, on Cherokee County, delaying permits for up to 60 to 90 days.
Well, that was in the bad old days before GeorgiaCarry.org, when probate judges routinely took 4 to 6 months to issue licenses.
And now, has that changed?
That has changed. My probate judge in Coweta County, in fact, was taking 4 to 6 months, and I'm glad to say that she takes between 6 and 13 days now.
Now, that's a beautiful thing. I understand that Cherokee now, and I don't want to get off topic here real quick, but I understand that Cherokee County is now hovering around 14 or 15 days. Am I right there?
I believe that's correct, okay. But keep in mind that took about 7 federal lawsuits to get that to happen.
And you won just about every one of them, didn't you?
We did, yes.
All right, that's fantastic news. We're going to talk about that in detail in just a few minutes. Going back to when you and I first met, I'll never forget when I joined GeorgiaCarry.org, and I remember getting my first Georgia Carry update announcing that Georgia Carry, and I'll say we because I'm a member as well, had 800 members. And that was a thrilling moment for me when I saw that as well. Tell me where we're at today.
We're at about 4,300 members. Now, keep in mind that in 2006, we essentially started out with 0 members. We existed for several months with no membership whatsoever.
Unbelievable. And that occurred. What do you attribute the growth in that grass? What do you consider what was the upsurge? What was that related to?
Well, it's a number of factors, but Georgia had at one time more places off limits to the carry of a firearm than any state in the nation. So there was a huge interest in this state for making some changes, and I attribute it to success. GeorgiaCarry.org has made some of those changes, both with the probate judges, as we've discussed, and at the Georgia General Assembly with changing legislation here to get some of those places off limits off the list. Last year, that was state parks, restaurants, and mass transit.
Now, you're an ex-law enforcement officer, am I correct?
That's correct. I was a police officer for 12 years.
Okay. What? And currently you're an attorney?
I am, yes.
Whose idea was this?
Well, GeorgiaCarry.org was founded in the back of a Shoney's with me and 5 other guys who are all but one now still on the board of directors of GeorgiaCarry.org.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. You know, I interviewed Dick Heller not too long ago and just appeared, in fact, in the last issue of Concealed Carry magazine. And I was fortunate enough to meet him at the SHOT Show back in January in Orlando, and a great show it was and a lot of fun had by everybody that attended. And I had the opportunity, and I consider it a privilege, to have met Dick Heller. During my conversations with Dick Heller, that wound up being approximately a 2-hour audio-taped interview and about 43 pages of transcribed material, he specifically pointed to the Georgia Carry brief. And when I mentioned that I was a member of Georgia Carry, he immediately started reciting that brief, he and his cohort, Dane von Breichenruckhardt. And I think you and I talked about that afterwards.
Oh, we did, and I can't tell you how happy that makes me and John Monroe, the Roswell attorney with whom I collaborated on that amicus brief.
Wow, that is outstanding. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to get Tim Schmidt in here to jump on in with us right here. Gene, is he on the air with us? Tim?
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
I'm doing great, and we've got Ed Stone sitting here with us. Tim, tell us a little bit about the USCCA, and we'll fold everything together here.
Okay, first, before I do that, first I want to say hi to Ed. Ed, great to talk to you on the radio here.
Hello.
And Mark, fantastic opening. That was beautiful. Actually, you gave me goosebumps when I heard you opening the radio show. So that was excellent.
Well, fantastic. Thanks for the thanks for the pump up there. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Well, as you know, U.S. Concealed Carry has been around for about 5 years, and. You know, we published Concealed Carry magazine, and just like Georgia Carry, we started from nothing, we've grown quite rapidly, and I'm excited about our future. So,
Tim, you and I have known each other now. It's been 4 years. I think I've been writing for the magazine now for 4 years.
Yep. And you're right.
I remember. I'll never forget this. I was living in a little 1,500 square foot cracker box house down in Tampa, Florida, and I got a little card from the USCCA, fledgling organization, asking me to join. for the magazine. And it said that if you were one of the first 500 members, there was a handgun giveaway. And if you weren't one of the, if you didn't win the handgun and you were one of the first 500 members, that you'd get the bullet keychain. Well, I got the bullet keychain. I got a bone to pick with you on that one, but that's okay. And ever since that time, you and I had some conversations, and I told you about an incident that happened to me. We'll talk about that later on the air. And I penned a column for you entitled The Importance of Carrying Your Gun 100% of the Time.
I remember that, Mark.
Yeah, I think that's out there now in the Best of Concealed Carry, and I'm very proud of that because that was an actual, very frightening and very real event that took place in my life, and I lived through it because I had a gun. And Tim, it's always fascinated me throughout our conversations. What gave you the inspiration to start this organization that has exploded nationwide?
Oh boy, Mark, I'll try to give you the short version of the story. I mean, it's not as exciting as I probably like it to be, but you know, I'd been working my engineering business for 5 years at the point, and quite frankly, that business was killing me. And I wanted to start something else, do something different. And quite honestly, I just gotten done reading a book by Robert Boatman, Living with Glocks. And in that book, there's a chapter called The Constitutional Right and Social Responsibility to Carry a Gun. And I read that article. It was essentially a chapter in the book. And I thought, holy cow, it literally changed my perspective on firearms and personal protection and self-defense in the course of 3 minutes. And that was when I decided, hey, I'm gonna get into this. Next thing I know, I started a magazine. And when I sent those postcards out to you, Mark, you know, I pretty much had my whole house mortgaged on the line. And if I didn't get a certain amount of response, I was going to have to sell the house. So I'm really glad you responded.
Well, I certainly did, and so did many, many, many thousands of other people, and I'm very thankful that the organization has grown the way it's grown. You know, I remember that I've got that book as well, Living with Glocks by Robert Boatman. I've got it at home. It's a great coffee table book. I refer to it from time to time, and I'm very familiar with the piece that you're talking about as well. And it had the same effect on me. It truly did. I didn't start the USCCA, but I'll tell you what, I'm writing for you and enjoying every minute of it as well, I think we've got we're getting ready to cut to a break here in just a second. So, Tim, can you stick on the phone with us here?
Sure, no problem. Yep.
Okay, fantastic. Ed, stick around, and we'll be right back, everybody.
All of the problems that Barack Obama and his associates perceive in the world will be solved by...
Get ready for an economics lesson from Michael Medved.
Inflation. At 10% a year inflation, in a couple of years, you've cut the national debt in half. How? Let's say you still owe $20 trillion, but now the $20 trillion is only worth 10.
It makes dollars and cents to listen to Michael Medved. Afternoons from 3 to 6 on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
Business owners, builders, auto service technicians, and maintenance personnel, if you use an air compressor in your business, then listen to this. Schultz Air Compressors, the leading name in industrial-grade air compressors, is having a huge overstock sale. Here's an example. Get an 80-gallon heavy-duty air compressor starting at just $899. Schultz compressors come with a better design, including Swedish steel valves, a 2-year pump warranty, and much more. Also on sale, a Schultz 7.5-horsepower air compressor with a 2-stage pump for just $1,399. Comes with a magnetic starter. This overstock sale won't last forever, so don't wait. And for every new purchase in the month of April from this special radio offer, receive a free startup kit as a gift from Schultz, a $50 value. Schultz Compressors, located in the East Ackworth Industrial Park off New McEver Road in Ackworth. For directions, call 770-529-4731 or online at schultzamerica.com. That's schulzamerica.com.
Hi there, I'm 920 WGKA, your guilty little radio pleasure. We both know it started so innocently. You were curious and wanted to try something new. First it was once a week, then once a day. Now it's gotten completely out of hand. You're tuning in constantly. Now I need to ask you a little favor. Don't tell anyone about us. It's just, I can't have any new listeners. It'll only complicate the special relationship we have. So be a dear and don't tell anyone you listen to 920 WGKA. Let's keep it our little secret.
Where Atlanta hears about it and talks about it. Your new home for talk. 920 WGKA.
I love that music. You got to love Gene for pulling that out of the box. That's fantastic. Tim, are you still on the phone with us? Okay. Tim, I want to continue the conversation here relative to Concealed Carry Magazine, which is the flagship of the USCCA. And it is probably one of the most informative gun publications I've ever read. And I don't mean that from a writer's perspective. I'm also a reader of the magazine and a fan, and I have my favorite sections as well. Do you get any regular feedback on what most folks like most about the magazine that separates it from other publications?
I think the most consistent feedback we get is what people tell us that they really like the profile sections where we essentially highlight just everyday, normal, ordinary armed Americans. And it really gives them a perspective that they're not alone in their decision to be armed. So a lot of people comment on that. They really like that. And I guess the other thing that people like a lot are all the training articles. I think that your typical armed citizen understands that training isn't something you just do once. It's something that you integrate into your regular, part of your life. So those are the two big ones.
Amen to that. That is so important, and the magazine is filled chock full of some great writers that talk about training kids and guns, safe gun storage, and it doesn't really focus too much on the advertiser. It puts real information out to the readers, and that's very important.
Much to the chagrin of the guy that sells advertising for me.
I don't doubt that one bit. In fact, I've met him with you. That's great. Well, I'll tell you what, he's still doing a great job because you've got some of the biggest advertisers in the nation in the magazine. And I'll tell you, one of the silliest things I hear from time to time is people love the way the magazine flows. Page one goes to page two, goes to page three, and you don't have to flip to page 45 to finish a column.
Yeah.
And that's, believe it or not, is important to a lot of people. Tim, if you can hold for just a second, we've got Joseph in Decatur on the phone that has a question about House Bill 45, fingerprinting and licensing, and I'm going to defer this over to Ed. Ed, can you jump on here?
Hey, Ed, just a quick question. Do you have any relatives in Arizona? Because I knew an Ed Stone way, way back.
I do not.
Okay. I am part of the concealed carry in Georgia, and I have a question because an email came through my machine yesterday, and I read it, and it said something about the Senate bill. I believe you have to introduce bills in the Senate. Senate Bill 45 had to deal with licensing, the Social Security number registration, inspection of your house to make sure it is secured away from children under 18. And I mean, there's a whole long line of things that I just cursed over, but I thought, and I cursed that. And I was just thinking, what on earth is the situation going down in the Congress today and the Senate? Are we on top of it?
Yeah, you're referring to H.R. 45 that's pending in Congress right now, and that is a national licensing bill that would license gun owners nationwide. And it's a terrible bill, and I'd be awfully worried about it, except it's not going anywhere. The sponsor cannot even get a single co-sponsor to sign on to the bill. And I think people should pay more attention to some bills that appear to be moving. And one is Senate 831, S-831, which is a new bill that was filed.
Is that the letter A or 831?
S-831.
S-831, okay.
And S-831 is a an assault weapon. Excuse me, that's the gun show bill where they're going to nationwide enact a background check system at gun shows for private sellers. In other words, most people aren't aware, but when you go to a gun show today, there's a background check when you buy from a dealer, but not at a private sale, which it happens to be the same law that is outside the gun show. If you buy from a private dealer, say your brother or a family member or a friend, there's no background check.
Yeah.
But that bill has legs. It has a lot of co-sponsors, and people need to pay attention to that.
Yeah, Joseph, what we're talking about here is the mythical gun show loophole.
And, I understand what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy because, and you got to put this in perspective. I've wrestled with that myself a number of times, and I've thought, well, And you find yourself scratching your head saying, well, maybe they're right. Is that right? You know, you watch that ABC 2020 hit piece and you think, wow. But what you got to realize is that the same laws that apply to the gun dealers apply at the gun shows. Okay.
Right.
If you were to walk away and go home and sell that firearm to your neighbor, okay, that's no different. That's why there's no such thing as a gun show loophole. It's a myth. Adam, am I right there?
No, you're absolutely correct.
I see what you're saying. I got one more quick question, if I may, please. With all the scare, there's lack of ammunition, and the guns have gone off the shelves. How do you buy yourself a nice pair of?
You know, you're going to have to wait. There's really no other way to say that. You know, we've been watching ammunition fly off the shelves since, what, about October?
About September, October? Just before the election.
Yeah, everybody knew Obama was going to win the election, and the scare started. You know, I've heard a number of different theories about that. I'll give you my own personal beliefs on that. I think if everybody just sits back, relaxes a little bit, calms down, you're going to start to see ammunition coming back to the shelves. Okay, but there's been no sign of that yet. None. Absolutely no sign of that yet. So that says an awful lot. We'll talk about that. That's a whole topic for another show, Joe, for sure.
I can remember back in junior high, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade in Tucson, carrying my Winchester 52 model bull gun in the halls, pocket full of ammunition, going down to the rifle range.
Those were the good old days when you could take an NRA class at school.
That's an incredible time, I'll tell you.
That's right. Well, Joseph, listen, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. I hope you continue to listen to us every Sunday night.
Great, and you couldn't have picked a better network or a better station than WGKA, believe me.
We agree.
Take care now. Have a good day.
You bet. You too, Joseph. Tim, are you still with us?
You bet you guys. I'm here.
Okay, great. One quick question for you here, and then I guess I can let you get back to your family. You're welcome to stick on the phone with us when Masad joins us in a little bit. But, Tim, the growth of the USCCA, and I've actually had questions from this from readers. Is the USCCA have any intention here in the near future of getting involved with any lobbying efforts, or are we going to just go ahead and keep the USCCA what it is now, a true association of like-minded folks that can pick up information? What do you think there?
Well, I mean that's a question that we certainly get from time to time, and in the beginning, my position was, well, you know, as far as the lobbying and giving money to organizations that have a representation in Washington D.C. is we always supported the National Rifle Association, and you know, we give hundreds of thousands of dollars to those guys every year of essentially USCCA money to help support that. So I guess, you know, and until we get large enough to actually be able to afford to have our own full-time employees in Washington, D.C., until then we're just going to continue to support organizations like the NRA.
That's fantastic because, you know, I don't know. I kind of don't want to see the USCCA go that route. I really enjoy writing for the USCCA, and I enjoy the camaraderie. Anybody out there listening, if you've never been there, by all means, get out there to usconcealedcarry.com. The forum itself is worth the price of admission, and I'm sure you hear an awful lot of that, Tim.
Yeah, our forum is fantastic, and you know, when you join US Concealed Carry, you know, the very first thing a lot of members do is they download every single back issue of Concealed Carry magazine that's at their fingertips, and you're in a situation where you're overloaded with more information than you can probably digest in 6 months. And not to mention, it's a really tight community of good you know, people that for whatever reason have made what I think is a fantastic, responsible decision to be armed citizens. So,
yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I think it's irresponsible and reprehensible for a man not to have a means to defend his family. And, you know, some folks think that's a controversial statement. I happen to think the other lifestyle is controversial.
I couldn't agree more, Mark.
All right. Well, Tim, thanks very much for joining us this evening. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. And, Ed, good talking to you. And take care, guys.
Thanks, Tim.
You betcha. Ed, let's go back to H.R. 45 again for just a second, okay? I understand that there are no co-sponsors to this bill yet. Is there any fear that this thing can get legs at this point in time?
Not on my part, none whatsoever.
Okay, because that's probably the scariest gun bill I think I've ever seen come down the pike ever in front of the U.S. Congress.
And that's why it won't move. The kind of bills that will move are the incremental type of bills. While the media is out there telling everybody, oh, President Obama and his administration have backed off their position for gun control, I saw a headline the other day that said President Obama has ruled out another assault weapons ban, and I searched the article for any evidence of that, and in fact, all he said was it would be difficult. And I believe those sorts of incremental bills are something we need to worry about, the close the gun show loophole mantra that you're hearing so often. And I expect to see another assault weapons bill during President Obama's first term.
You know, that gun show loophole thing is also scary, too. It's obviously a debatable point. However, it's only debatable because it occurs at a gun show.
Well, you need to ask about what is the next step. What is the next loophole? If they close this supposed gun show loophole, then you still have unregulated private sales outside the gun show. So the next step is going to be regulating those. And how do you
that's
do
correct.
That? You can't do that without registration.
No, and that's H.R. 45 addresses that by making any transaction of a firearm have to move through, if I'm not mistaken, a federally licensed dealer. If you want to sell your gun to your neighbor or give it to your son, you've got to go through a federally licensed dealer. We're getting ready to go to a break here, folks. We're going to be back after the break with Masoud Ayoob.
Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser.
This is meteorologist Frank Strait from the WGKA Weather Center. The overnight hours will be mostly clear and tranquil, comfortable with the low near 60. It's going to stay dry for the next several days. Monday and Tuesday will be pleasantly warm with a good deal of sunshine, high about 80. Partly sunny and pleasant for Wednesday and Thursday, with the high both of those days 77. Our next chance of rain will be coming up on Friday. I'm meteorologist Frank Strait from the WGKA Weather Center, powered by AccuWeather.
When severe weather threatens your commute, 920 WGKA is the only Atlanta radio station equipped to get you where you need to go.
41 minutes from Wade Green to the perimeter, 50 to downtown, 400s an hour, 3.
Our digital state-of-the-art traffic command center is online when traffic helicopters cannot get off the ground.
We have had copious reports of trees down on power lines knocking out power or traffic signals.
920 WGKA, fast, first, and accurate.
Business owners, builders, auto service technicians, and maintenance personnel, if you use an air compressor in your business, then listen to this. Schultz Air Compressors, the leading name in industrial-grade air compressors, is having a huge overstock sale. Here's an example. Get an 80-gallon heavy-duty air compressor starting at just $899. Schultz compressors come with a better design, including Swedish steel valves, a 2-year pump warranty, and much more. Also on sale, a Schultz 7.5-horsepower air compressor with a 2-stage pump for just $1,399. Comes with a magnetic starter. This overstock sale won't last forever, so don't wait. And for every new purchase in the month of April from this special radio offer, receive a free startup kit as a gift from Schultz, a $50 value. Schultz Compressors, located in the East Ackworth Industrial Park off New McEver Road in Ackworth. For directions, call 770-529-4731 or online at schultzamerica.com. That's S-C-H-U-L-Z-America.com.
If you've been watching the news lately, you've been hearing a lot about the obstacles in our economy. If you'll listen for just a few seconds, I'll share the opportunities that this economic downturn is offering to those with the energy, courage, and know-how to take advantage of it. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. The 3-Step Plan helps people feel better, look better, and make more money. History has shown that our product line actually grows during an economic slowdown. Our newest product category actually grew 21% during the last 12 months, while most business categories were dropping like a rock. With the 3-Step Plan, you can help yourself and others develop another stream of income to survive and prosper in today's uncertain business climate. Don't wait for things to get worse. Check out the 3-Step Plan today. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-305-5482. 800-305-5482.
Intelligent Talk is Atlanta's news, talk, and information station. 920 AM WGKA.
Americans play to win all the time. I wouldn't give a hoot in hell for a man who lost. and laugh.
Gene, I love it. I knew I could count on you. Those are fantastic. Okay, everybody, welcome back to Armed American Radio. I'm your host, Mark Walters. Everybody, if you're interested in calling in on the show, give us a shout at 888-920-2665. That's 888-920-2665. And we've got a 770 number over here somewhere, 770-226-0920, 770-226-0920. If you're interested in talking to Masad Ayoub, who we are very privileged to have join us right now. Masad, how are you this evening?
Hey, doing good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And we've got Ed Stone, the president of Georgia Carry, in the studio with us tonight, Masad. And
oh, great.
I know you're out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Can you give us a little bit? Tell us why you're out there.
Sure. We just finished up the annual tactical conference that Tom Givens runs with his Rangemaster group. He had an outstanding turnout, about 125 people. Lots of good training, lots of shooting, a very challenging shooting competition. And we all enjoyed it and managed to stay ahead of the weather.
Mass, did you win?
Sadly, I did not.
I know with your you've got a great track record back there. Masad, I can't begin a discussion with you without mentioning in the gravest extreme, okay, what some refer to as the Bible of Concealed Carry. That was written back in 1980, and that was 7 years before Florida's landmark CCW passed. And those laws obviously have now swept the nation, even in the face of difficult political odds. Mass, besides the passage of state laws allowing concealed carrying of weapons by law-abiding citizens in some form in, what, 48 states, I believe now, I think we have, what, Illinois and Wisconsin are the only two that that disallow all forms of carry. Have the basics of concealed carry methods and techniques changed at all since you penned that masterpiece?
We've seen some things come along. The tuckable holster designed by Dave Workman that was sort of a cross between an inside-the-waistband holster and a belly band that would hide under a tucked-in shirt has caught on tremendously. He did the first ones with Mitch Rosen up in New Hampshire, the leather maker. And since then, darn near everybody has a copy of it. We have a heck of a lot more private citizens now than really ever in the memory of any living American who are licensed to carry, and more than at any time since, you know, the late 19th century, we have reciprocity that allows the licensed private citizen to carry, if not nationwide, through a great swath of the states. My girlfriend and I drove to Chicago from Florida. She's a private citizen. She was licensed to carry right till she got to the Illinois line. We flew out here to Oklahoma, and she's legal to carry here. And that was just, when I was a kid, that was just unthinkable. There were only a couple of states back then, Indiana and Michigan, that recognized other concealed carry permits. And other than that, it was extremely parochial. I can remember years ago when we gun guys would get together and, you know, pop out the folders. And instead of somebody in 1960 saying, "Hey, look how many credit cards I have, I'm cool," it was, "Look how many states I have concealed carry permits in."
You know,
we've come a long way.
We have. There's no question about it. I want to go back to 1980 for a second here, because I often think about this. Florida's landmark ruling occurred in 1987. And, of course, you know, they say so goes California, so goes the nation. I like to think so goes Florida, so goes the nation in respect to concealed carry. Masad, what happened? What were the laws when In the Gravest Extreme was written?
Well, basically back then, as I said, it was awfully parochial. If you lived in Florida back then, your permit would be issued by the county sheriff and would only be good in the county. It was like so many of the may issue states, where, you know, essentially the issuing authority had the prerogative to issue the permit or not at their whim. The may issue thing had become kind of a code word for, we'll give you the permit if you're white, male, rich, and politically connected. What Marion Hammer did in her groundbreaking work there in Florida with Unified Sportsmen of Florida was to change the paradigm. She introduced the new bill as essentially reform legislation that made it more egalitarian and said, no, we're going to go with shall issue. Unless you can show that the applicant has been adjudicated mentally defective, is a convicted felon, etc., you shall issue them the permit to carry, and furthermore, it will be good nationwide. We saw the effects of that almost immediately, particularly in southern Florida, which at that time was the crime capital of the state. And we saw again and again cases where the armed citizen warded off the threat, often without having to fire a shot. And the concept spread today. We're approaching 40 states that have gone from the may issue model to what I think of as the reform model of shall issue.
Massad, concealed carry is a lifestyle, as you well know. And
it is.
It is a lifestyle that is not one to be taken lightly. It's a decision that a lot of people wrestle with. I know I did. And some of the questions that I ask myself come to mind. I know through my columns and many of the hundreds and hundreds of people that I talk to on a fairly regular basis, and I know you're out there a whole heck of a lot more than I am. And I know these are basic questions, and I've asked you this question before, but it's important for the listeners out here, especially on the new program tonight. With guns flying off the shelves and ammo flying off the shelves right now, what do you recommend for a first-time shooter out there, someone who may be buying a gun in a panic state because of the political climate right now? Is it a revolver, a semi-automatic? Where would you send somebody, in what direction?
The first place I would send them would not be to the gun shop. It would be for someone to train them if they're going to be a first-time gun owner. One thing we've seen over the years, Mark, historically, the people who went into a gun shop to buy a gun had looked at their lifestyle, had seen a need, had made a commitment, and said, okay, I'm going to buy a gun and carry a gun, perhaps. I need you to show me what my options are, whether I should get this revolver or that semi-automatic, etc. And it would grow from there. And it would be like the person who goes in and buys a chainsaw from the lawn equipment store. They only buy it when they have a need for it. Having a need for it, they ask someone competent to show them how to use it, and they use it safely for the rest of their lives in the great majority of cases. What you've got here with the panic gun buying that the Obama election has created, and it can't be called paranoia because, as the saying goes, it's not paranoia if they're really after you. Before the election, when his website was change.gov, he flatly said, I would like to see a permanent return to the so-called assault weapons ban, meaning no handgun or rifle that would hold more than 10 rounds.
He made that very clear.
He also made it very clear that he opposed concealed carry. And that is back up now that he's been elected on the change.gov website. And the public, not being stupid after all, said, okay, for whatever reasons, we've elected a guy who wants to take these things away from us, and very, very soon, when he and the other Democrats are in power, it will be their option to keep me from ever buying one. And if I ever want to own one in my life, if I want to keep the option of choosing later down the road, I need to buy one now. And what you're seeing with that, what I fear with it, is people who are not really committed now to go out and train with it and learn how to safely use it, but are saying, I'll bring this thing into my house, and later, if I decide to get serious about owning a gun, I'll figure it out. And I don't want a chainsaw in the home of someone who doesn't know how to use it and will, I'll deal with that later. Someone who has a gun in their home and says, I don't want to use it right now, so I'll deal with that later. Either way, you have something that's very potentially harmful in the wrong hands, or if someone decides to use it prematurely without learning how to use it properly. And I really fear that the panic buying may have the unintended consequence down the road of creating some incidents where people who've bought the gun and have not bought, let's say, the gun safe that a serious gun owner would have, who has not taken training in gun safety and maybe just leaves an operable firearm in a corner of the closet where the kids or the visiting drunk brother-in-law can get at it.
Mass, let me ask you. This is Ed. We're broadcasting from Georgia, and in Georgia, there's no requirement, like in about half the states that issue concealed carry licenses, to take any required training before being issued a license to carry. What is your viewpoint on government-required training as a condition of issuing the license?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a more complicated thing than it looks like. On the one hand, I spent most of my life in the state of New Hampshire, which also does not have such a requirement. And the old Yankees I grew up with always said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The people with the concealed carry permits tended there, as elsewhere, to be among the most law-abiding and safest within the population. But we can't look at it based on, you know, what a Georgia guy thinks about Georgia or what a New Hampshire native thinks about New Hampshire. Let's look back at what Mark brought up, the Florida model. I think the thing that really sold Marion Hammer's reform legislation to the Florida legislature.
Massad, I'm sorry I've got to interrupt you here. We're going to get ready to take a break. When we come back from the break, I'd like to bring you back, get that full answer from you, and then ask you some questions about the Gun Digest Book of Concealed Carry and the LFI courses, okay?
Sure.
Thanks. We'll be right back, everybody.
You are hired.
This is Sadie Fields. On behalf of the Georgia Christian Alliance and WGKA, I'd like to personally invite you to an exciting event May 19th at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center. It's called Obama, the First 100 Days. Featured are WGKA personalities Bill Bennett, Dennis Prager, and Hugh Hewitt. Tickets are on sale now. Just go to 920WGKA.com and look for the banner to buy tickets online. Don't miss this dynamic meeting of the minds right here in Atlanta.
You found your new home for talk. 920 AM WGKA.
When your allergies hit, hit back with new Claritin Liquid Gels, now available at CVS Pharmacy. Claritin Liquid Gels capsules are the first and only non-drowsy allergy medicine with pure liquid power, releasing a wave of relief for your itchy, watery eyes, sneezing, and runny nose. Depend on Claritin Liquid Gels and live Claritin clear. This week, CVS Pharmacy Extra Care Card members can save on Claritin Liquid Gels. CVS Pharmacy, for all the ways you care. Use as directed.
Peter Baruch, Senior Compliance Director for the Business Software Alliance.
Pirating software is serious. It hurts software developers, our economy, and it's illegal. If software is copied illegally at your workplace, report it to the BSA. It's the right thing to do.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. That's nopiracy.com or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY.
The Voice of Atlanta is here. 920 AM WGKA.
Massad, welcome back. I'm sorry I had to cut you off on that. We want to get that full answer if you want to continue with that.
No problem. Yeah, I was just saying that while in northern New England, where I grew up, there was no requirement for training to get the concealed carry permit, just the record and character background check. And it worked fine. But when Marion Hammer and her group passed that landmark reform legislation in Florida, the key thing that passed it was the training requirement. The training requirement was simple enough. If you could show a DD-214 that you'd been through the military and had basic small arms training, good enough. If you could show you'd had a four-hour safety course, good enough. And you know what? That has worked there. We still have not seen rash of bad judgment shootings or anything like that by the permit holders. In fact, we've seen just the opposite. We've seen numerous, countless cases now where the armed citizen's possession of the gun in public prevented an atrocity being committed. So what I'm saying is, should there be a requirement? My answer is it would be situational.
Mass, you're not seeing, though, a rash of bad judgment shootings in states like New Hampshire and Georgia.
No. As I said, it worked fine. But what we've got to look at is the states that have the tradition where you can go before the legislature and say, look, it has been so for as long as any of us are alive. New Hampshire has been shell issue, I think, since the year 1923. The legislators are not going to say, okay, gee, unless we see a spate of bad judgment shootings by the permit holders, we're simply not going to require additional training. It's burdensome. When you look at a state that has a different model, a different history, a different paradigm, let's say now the two that we're still fighting for, Illinois and Wisconsin, if it ever passes in either of those two states, what will get it passed will be the inclusion for the politicians and the voters who sit on the fence on this issue of some sort of requirement to show competency. If I were asked how to do that, I would say make it a written examination and a basic, simple live-fire shooting program. Because remember, we're not talking Georgia, where there's a history of armed citizens carrying in public, or New Hampshire, or now, for the new generation, a history that's established for over 20 years in Florida. We're talking about a radical change in the paradigm and a whole lot of nervous people whose fears will need to be assuaged. And by simply saying, look, this has worked with training in Florida. It has worked with training in Utah, in Arizona. Arizona began their shell issue carry when they went from no concealed carry at all with a two-day, 16-hour training requirement. It worked out fine, and over the years, the legislators became comfortable enough with it to say, you know, this whole 2 days of training that we're requiring may be unduly burdensome. We're seeing no problems. And a few years ago, they cut it back to an eight-hour requirement, and it's still simply working fine in the state of Arizona.
Well, Mass, you mentioned New Hampshire, and you're a law enforcement officer there. Is that correct?
Correct.
And here in Georgia, we have pending House Bill 615, which is going to get rid of a lot of places off limits here in Georgia, because Georgia is a very restrictive state. And I just wanted to point out that my understanding of New Hampshire is the only place off limits is the courthouse. And because
federal buildings.
Well, that's federal law. That's not New Hampshire law.
Okay.
And I think that's a model for other states. And I just wanted, from your perspective as a law enforcement officer in New Hampshire, does that create any problems or issues in New Hampshire, or is that something other states should be looking toward?
No, I definitely think other states should be looking toward it. What you're getting is actually, again, some unintended consequences. You have some of the states in the South, for example, where the person with a concealed carry permit is forbidden to bring it into any place that sells alcohol by the drink. So if you two guys go out for dinner tonight, let's say in, let's create the hypothetical state of East Virginia, or hell, what the heck, Virginia itself. You cannot carry concealed in a restaurant that has a liquor license, which is pretty much every decent restaurant above McDonald's level that you take your family to, even if you're not having anything to drink. I think that is ridiculous, and what we're seeing is folks having to leave their guns in their cars. The bad guys have picked up on this, and the bad guys will simply walk around the parking lots till they see someone appearing to secrete something in the vehicle, pop the trunk with a with a simple punch device, and get it out of the trunk, or smash the window with a rock and reach under the seat. Michigan has taken the approach of basically implied consent, just like driving the automobile. You can expect your license to be revoked if you go beyond a certain limit in alcohol. And I think that is certainly a practical approach. In the state of New Hampshire, it's always been, forgive my New Hampshire accent, but hey up. You can carry in a bar if you want to.
Masad, we love your New Hampshire accent.
Might be a good idea, because sometimes there's dirt bags with weapons in bars that go crazy.
Well, we had an issue here in Georgia with a person who came to a bar with a gun. He had a beef with some people who were sitting outside on the deck, and a person carrying a weapon inside the bar pulled the pistol and shot him with one shot. No bystanders injured, saved the lives of four people. And that place was off limits here in Georgia, but the prosecutor wisely declined to prosecute. And I think that, frankly, there's no excuse for removing the right of self-defense from somebody simply because of the place where they happen to be.
And, you know, Masad, it goes back to a question that I asked you a couple months back, and that is, what is it that people don't understand about the term law-abiding citizen?
What they don't understand, the paradigm that's, you know, probably as old as mankind, that I've used, that Dave Grossman has used, is the division of the populace into the three categories of the sheep, the wolves, and the sheepdogs. And there's a lot of truth in that. A good part of the populace are sheep. They expect to be protected, they want to be peaceful, and they cannot imagine themselves with fangs and claws. There are wolves, and I don't think the folks that listen to y'all's show are going to need to be persuaded of that. And therefore, there need to be sheepdogs. Certainly, society provides the sheepdog in the form of the police officer. But at the same time, there are not enough sheepdogs to cover all the sheep. Law enforcement in America, in any free country, is a reactive force. As much as we work on crime prevention, for the most part, since the wolves are very careful not to attack the sheep when the sheepdogs are there, something has to be in place to keep the sheep alive long enough for the sheepdogs to get the alert and come and bite the wolf or drive him off. And the people, you know, the Sarah Brady's of the world, the Violence Policy Center groups and those, what you're seeing are basically biological affirmations that the sheep by its nature cannot distinguish between the wolf and the sheepdog and therefore fears them both.
And wants the sheepdog to be declawed like they are.
Declawed, and especially does not want the other sheep to grow fangs. And it's a sad thing, but in the end, that's what it comes down to. The people who oppose the right of a free people to protect themselves, a right that had been in place before this nation was founded and separated from the British colonies, the people who want to take that away are people who do not imagine themselves being in control of that level of power and that level of responsibility. Why do all the movie stars, the Rosie O'Donnells of the world, who scream at Tom Selleck that if you own a gun, you should go to prison, why do they all hire armed bodyguards to protect their own children? They can't do it themselves, but they need someone else to do it. And they bitterly resent anyone who has the strength and the character to do it for themselves.
It's hypocrisy at the highest levels when you get to that point. Mass, we've got 3 minutes, and I could keep you on here. You know, we try to cram 3 hours into 1 hour. We need to bring this to 2 hours. It's what we need to do. I want to give you a pump here for your book, Concealed Carry, the Gun Digest book of Concealed Carry.
Yay, buy the book. I need the royalties.
I'll tell you what. I told you this before, my friend. I've read this book on every airplane I've been on in the past 2 to 3 months. It's getting pretty well worn. And there are just some fantastic, fantastic chapters in here that people need to look at. I think it covers just about everything relative to the concealed carry lifestyle, and that's very important. You know, but you touch on open carry in here. You touch on pocket carry, ankle holsters, various types of handguns, the whole nine yards. And I really recommend everybody go out and pick it up, even non-traditional carry methods. And, Mass, real quick, I saw a commercial on TV the other night, and it had Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I got to admit that I love the guy. I think he's doing a great job out there. I was just out in Tombstone, Arizona, in Phoenix last week, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my God, we missed each other by about a week and a half.
I'm telling you. And I get out to Tombstone and mingle with the ghosts of the gunfighters out there about once a year. That'll be a subject for another show. But, Mossad, when it comes out, they're talking about tasers out there. It was a taser commercial, and they were pushing the taser as a primary self-defense tool. Can you give us your thoughts on that?
That's ridiculous, and the taser people will be the first to tell you that. The taser was designed as an intermediate force instrument, what we call less lethal weaponry. We can't call it non-lethal because anything will kill the guy with the eggshell skull when he falls down or something like that.
Right, right. Hey, Mossad, I'm going to have to, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to cut you off. We're getting down to about a minute, Gene. What do we got? About a minute left? And, Mossad, I appreciate you being on with us very much. We could continue this conversation. I hope we can have you on a regular basis. And I encourage everybody out there to join us every week on Armed American Radio. You can visit us at armedamericanradio.org, armedamericanradio.org. And please go out and visit my website as well at theamericangunfighter.com. Join the blog and be a patriot. Don't forget to visit georgiacarry.org. You don't need to live in Georgia to join Georgia Carry. These grassroots groups are the best in the country. It's the best people in the country. It's activists. It's people like you and me that are out there making a difference every single day. So thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the inaugural edition of Armed American Radio. It was great to have you with us. Join us next week with Kathy Jackson, and we'll talk to you later, my friends. Carry on, carry often, and carry everywhere.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio with your host, Mark Walters. Brought to you every Sunday evening by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Hear us next Sunday at 8 p.m. right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And to learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
920 AM.
WGKA.
Atlanta, a service of Salem Communications.